Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
And welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. Good to have you with us on this fall sort of winter day weekend. Getting used to 40 degree days. Winter's right around the corner, though, I assure you. I have lived in this state for quite some time, and I have never been disappointed. And in fact, they're even saying there's going to be an 80% chance of a white Christmas. So if you're praying for that, fantastic. Hey, we have a wonderful, wonderful show for you today. It's really packed. We have quite a mixture. We're going to be talking about a couple of themes that really do have a common denominator, and that is, what about young adults? What about young people? Where is the church going in terms of vocations and opportunities for people to think about a vocation? And what I mean by a vocation is young people who are called to the priesthood. Maybe your son is called to the priesthood, and maybe you've never even thought about it. Maybe you've said, you know, I don't know if that would ever happen in our family, but you know what? 20 years ago, when I was a Protestant pastor, if somebody would have told me that I was going to come back to the Catholic Church and teach the Bible in the Catholic Church, I would have said, you are on another planet. And maybe you would think that about your own son or your own grandson, but you know what? You just don't know what God is doing in their heart. And maybe your son is called to the priesthood. Maybe he's called to become a brother. Maybe your daughter is called to a religious life. She might be called to be a sister, a teaching sister, or a nun, or another Mother Angelica. Who knows? You never know what could happen in your family. And they say that vocations really start in the family. So if you're serious about your faith, which I got an idea that you are because you're listening to this show right now, that there might be a chance that your children have a vocation. But the question is, how are they ever going to know? Are they gonna be able to go through a discerning process to figure that out? That's what we're going to talk about today in part. And joining us today is going to be Father Bloom, and he is the vocations director for the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. And we're blessed today to hear from Bishop Cousins, who's going to talk to you about a very special retreat that's coming up, and that's coming up at the Buffalo Retreat Center. I don't know if you've been out there, but it's a great retreat center, and that's Christ the King Retreat Center, and the retreat is going to be December 18th through the 20th, and Father Bloom is going to share more about that with you. And guess what? Bishop Cousins is going to join us in just a little bit, and he's going to talk about his own discernment process, which is, it's very interesting. So be open. Be open to your children, your grandchildren, but you might be the voice that first brings this up to them. I talk to so many deacons, and so many deacons say, I never thought about being a deacon until four or five people said, you know, you'd make a good deacon. And maybe somebody has told you, you know, your grandson would be a good priest. Your granddaughter would become a good sister. Your daughter would be a good sister. Those might be signs that God is stirring in their heart in some way. So stay tuned. We're gonna talk about that. Also talking about young adults, we're going to look into music. In fact, to be honest with you, this is something I want to do more of. I want to feature some of the really talented young adults who are singing in the church today and are producing music that is inspiring, but also it glorifies the Lord. You know, back in the Old Testament, when Moses built the tabernacle, the Lord gave two criteria for building something beautiful, whether it's architecture, whether it's art, or whether it's music, whatever it might be, and that is he gave instructions to Bezalel. Bezalel was the one that was given the oversight for all of these beautiful creations. In fact, if you go to Israel today, you'll see that the main art museum is called the Bezalel Museum. And the two criteria were that they had to build it for glory and beauty. Glory and beauty. Now, when I listen to music today on the radio, I've got to tell you that not everything fits into that criteria. Not everything is beautiful, and not everything glorifies the Lord, but I've got an artist I want to introduce to you today that when I got a hold of her music, really touched me in a powerful way. And, you know, if you're listening to the show on Friday now, which is live right now, there's a good chance that your teens might be in school right now. If they're not, well, you might want to talk about that later when they get home. But if they're at school right now, they're not hearing this. And I'm asking you to listen for them and to make good music available to them that will touch their heart. Today is such a day where I'm going to introduce one of those artists to you. And she comes all the way from originally Rice Lake, Wisconsin, and now lives in Duluth, Minnesota, and is working with Father Mike Schmitz, in fact, up in Duluth, Minnesota. Her name is Allie Aaliyah. And Allie, get on up to that mic, and I want to welcome you to the show today.
Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you. And we're going to play a couple of your songs on the show today that I think are very, very powerful. And when I first heard your music, you ended up, quite a while ago, you went to Israel with me. I didn't even know that until your father had wrote a note to me and said, here's my daughter's CD called Jealous Love with four songs on it. And I was really, really touched. So fantastic job.
Thank you. Thank you so
very
much.
Very good. So before we get into your music, what are you doing now with your life?
Well, like you said, I work at Duluth, Minnesota at the Newman Center there for Father Mike Schmitz. And on the side, I'm doing this ministry where I go around giving talks and leading worship and just providing music at different events for people.
So. And you're a graduate of?
Franciscan University.
Aha, I've heard of that place. Franciscan University. Mm-hmm. What did Franciscan University mean to you as a musician in terms of forming you and your music?
It did so much for me. Lyrically speaking, the lyrics of my songs didn't really develop until after the pilgrimage with you and also through my studies at Franciscan, just because delving into scripture and studying theology and catechetics, it really, really contributed to my writing. And just like spiritually as well, it provides such a wonderful, you know, mm-hmm. place for you to just be able to like really encounter the Lord and, so through my studies there, for sure, it really inspired my music.
And that's one of the things I really appreciate about your music. And so many of our listeners have kids and grandkids that they wish they could give good material, good songs to. And I appreciate so much that not only do you sound what I would say cutting edge today, a great sound, but the lyrics that you use, the lyrics that you wrote are theologically incredibly deep. But it doesn't sound like it. It's like, well, what was that word concupiscence? What did you just throw in there? And anybody that can use the word concupiscence in a cool song has got something going for them in terms of communicating the gospel. I want to play one of your songs right off the bat here and then return to our conversation. One of the songs that caught my attention was called Jealous Love. And what? Tell us a little bit about that song.
Okay, so Jealous Love, I wrote it in the living room of the house that I was living in. And I was just kind of inspired by, you know, the story of Exodus greatly, especially the line, one of my favorites, Exodus 14:14, the Lord himself will fight for you and you have only to be still. So I was just kind of inspired to put that to music and just, you know, praying through the story and like especially the manna in the desert, how the Lord provides every moment of every day, like the exact amount of grace that we need. And then in the second verse, it's inspired by like divine mercy, you mm-hmm. know, just Jesus himself, like pouring himself out for you. So that's what that song's about.
And you have a line in there that I really think is a cool line. You talk about you're restless. You're still restless till mm-hmm. manna's on your tongue.
Yeah, yeah.
How's that? Am I saying that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you're restless till there's manna on your tongue.
You're restless mm-hmm. till there's manna on your tongue is a great line. Isn't that true of the world today,
it
though,
is.
Too?
It is. So true.
How restless we are and what they're really looking for is the bread of life.
Absolutely.
And the song goes into, it really talks about the enemy first mm-hmm. and then Jesus.
Yes.
Kind of contrasts them.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going for is just how the world, like we're at war spiritually in this world. And so often we have this, you know, like the concupiscence, our desire like to, you know, just not be oriented toward the good and how the Lord is constantly fighting for mm-hmm. us and how we have it in us to fight back and like to be in love with the Lord.
Sure.
So I
and joining you have a young man playing the banjo and
yes,
another
yes.
young man on the cajon, which is a little mm-hmm. like makeshift drum.
Yes.
it's a great sound. And by the way, get your pen ready, because in just a few minutes, I'm going to tell you how you can get a hold of this music for your young adult friends and for your teens, because this is the kind of music I think that will make a big difference. I was just over in Ireland, and I mentioned to a musician over there a little bit about the music, and he said, oh, I love that. It's so good. So I want to introduce to you Ali Aaliyah, and we're going to listen to the main song, I think, from the album Jealous Love. This is Ali Aaliyah.
You're crushed by a thousand burdens, with the devil riding on your spine. Yet you walk through life like you don't feel it. That's what he wants, that's where he wants you. Deception blinds your weary cravings, and you're restless till there's manna on your tongue. Yet concupiscence bears fickle passions to enslave your soul. It's right where he wants you.
That's Ali Aaliyah on the Rediscover Hour. If you just joined us, we're talking with Ali about her music, and this is something we want to do more and more on the show, and that is to introduce people to really, really good music. And Ali has that good music. The song is Jealous Love. And Ali, I got to ask you about your writing process. When you sit down, you think, okay, I'm going to write a song. Where does an idea come from, and how do you develop it?
You know, it kind of depends on the song, but I think a good blanket statement is largely inspired by the Holy Spirit. Just kind of a funny story that goes along with this is I oftentimes put music to psalms at Mass, And it usually comes to me so easily. And this one time, I was really struggling to put music to this psalm. And I couldn't figure out why. So eventually I was just like, okay, I'll put it down. I'll come back to it later. Came back to it, and I realized I had been looking at the wrong day. So I looked at the right day, and it came right to me. So that's just kind of like a little reminder that, you know, it's all the Lord that does this. And so it's very similar with my writing process. So often I'll be like driving in the car or just going about my day, and I'll be given this like little phrase or this, you know, this mm-hmm. tune in my mind, and I'll be like, okay, that's good. I want to like put that down. But if I'm driving, it's like, oh, I don't have my guitar here, you know, so I'll like pick up my phone and just start recording, like singing into it. And as I kind of unpack what I'm even saying, like most of the time, I don't even realize what angle it's going in at first. But then I'll realize like, oh, this sounds like, you know, Exodus, or this sounds like it's going in this direction. So I like pray a little bit more, open the scriptures at that particular point of like, what I could like incorporate into this. And then I just like kind of let it unfold. Mm-hmm. And so it's very much the Holy Spirit that guides it.
Well, that leads into what I was going to ask you, and that is that you don't sit down separate from the church to write a song, but the church is really a great source for inspiration. I'm thinking mm-hmm. of saints. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of scripture. I'm thinking of what's happening in the church today and the year of mercy and so forth. Does all of that play into your writing?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It, like I said, it has everything to do with my songwriting and just my relationship with the Lord is what is the source of mm-hmm. where these songs come from.
Any favorite saints?
Oh, yeah. Too many to count, but I really love Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati, mm-hmm. St. Faustina, Joan of Arc, JP2, all of them. They're so great.
And real quickly, what are you doing beyond singing? I know you're out there and you're speaking at mm-hmm. conferences and teen events and all of that. Give us a little idea of what's going on.
Yeah, so I people can hire me to go give talks. I have a number of different, you know, categories that they can choose from, but I often like write songs and talks for their specific event. Mm-hmm. So if they just go on my website, they can like find me and like, oh, if they see that there's not a topic that would fit their event, they can contact me and I'll be glad to write it for them. And
well, speaking of contacting you, how would people get in touch with you, not only for an event in their mm-hmm. in their parish or their diocese, but also to get a hold of your music?
Well, they can go to my website, www.ali-aliyah.com.
Let's go through the spelling of
Aliyah. Yeah, it's a little bit different. So it's www.ally-aliyah.com.
Okay.
And then they can go under the contacts tab or the music tab and find my album there, and they can order it through my website, or they can go on any pretty much any online distributor, iTunes, Amazon, and they can download it as well.
And the album is called Jealous Love, and I understand you've got about enough material for two more albums coming out
yes.
in the future. We look forward to that. But great job. You have a beautiful sound and a deep message, and that's what I think young people really need to hear today. And I made comments earlier, and just get you to comment on that, is that a lot of young people do not come directly in touch with this music. It's mm-hmm. it's people that are parents or grandparents that hear it and say, you know what, little Johnny or Mary White really like that song. Do you get that often?
Yeah. And also, my kind of goal with my music is I consider St. John the Evangelist one of my like biggest patrons of my music, because the way he writes scripture, he has multiple layers of meaning. Mm-hmm. And so my goal for it is that when people hear it the first time, maybe they don't necessarily recognize the religious aspect, mm-hmm. but it impacts them on some level. And then they start unpacking the lyrics and, you know, recognize like, oh, this is like about this scripture passage and I can relate to this way. And
you see, that's the difference between you and me. When I sing a song, at first they don't get it. Mm. And then they listen to it again and they still don't get it. So that's the difference between us here. You're a talented singer and songwriter, and I really, really encourage people to get it. In fact, if you get her CD or you go to iTunes and you get this as a gift, a stocking stuffer this year would be great. I want to hear from you as to what impact the music had on your young people. So that's Ali Aaliyah. The album is Jealous Love. We're going to go into a break, and as we go into the break, and I want to thank you, Ali, for joining us.
Thank you so much.
We're going to play one more cut from your CD called Into the Night, and I love this song too. And then when we come back from the break, guess what? Bishop Cousins joins us, and he's going to be talking about an opportunity for young adults December 18th through 20th. It's an Archdiocesan Discernment Retreat. We'll talk about that, followed by Father Bloom, who's going to give you all the details on how to get your teens, to get your young adults into this wonderful, wonderful retreat. So you're listening to the Rediscover Hour, and this once again is Ali Aaliyah, Into the Night.
Nostalgia's all the years, hopes and dreams and all the fears that you suppressed. In silence reverberating storms, echoes of a memory of a life you once dreamed that you'd possess. And I fall over to complacency, a fallacy, a lie that I've learned to believe. But you call me on again and draw me out from private quarters of my soul, where even I dare not go.
It won't be long and our Advent wreaths will be fully illuminated as the celebration of our Savior's birth arrives. Westside Sire would like to wish you and the family of Relevant Radio listeners the hope of this season and a Merry Christmas. Westside Sire and its 30 employees have sponsored Relevant Radio for more than 6 years, and they'd like to thank you and so many other listeners for trusting them to provide the service and products to make your vehicle safe and reliable on the road.
As Christmas approaches, they hope the time you spend with family and friends is centered on the joy and peace that the coming of our Savior provides each Christmas. Westside Tire plans to continue to support Relevant Radio, and they hope you will visit them in the coming year for tires to fit every vehicle, alignments, and brakes on your family's cars and trucks.
Westside Tire, just minutes west of the Metro in Corcoran, 763-420-2100 or westsidetire.net. They'll take care of you in every season.
And welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. Joining me today is Bishop Andrew Cousins, and he's going to be talking with us about a very special opportunity for young men between the ages of 18 and 50 to discern priesthood, to discern whether God has called them to become a priest in the Catholic Church. So it's going to be a very, very special retreat. Bishop, welcome to the Rediscover.
Thanks. It's great to be with you again, Jeff.
Well, today we're talking about a special event that's going to take place. On the dates are December 18th through the 20th at Christ the King Retreat Center out in Buffalo. Great retreat center. You're the retreat master, joined by Father David Bloom, and you're going to be leading a group of men through a series of talks and exercises to help them determine whether they might be called to the priesthood. So it sounds exciting.
Yeah, it's just a great opportunity for someone who has thought about the priesthood, but you know, doesn't feel ready to sign up for it yet, but is thinking about it and is asking that question. I wonder if God's calling me, and this is a chance just to get away and have a little retreat time and begin to ask that question on a deeper level.
When we think about vocations, typically we think about just one man's decision
to become a priest or not to become a priest. But really the decision and the preparation goes back further than that into the family. And I'm curious what you think of. What is the role of the family when it comes to a son entering the discernment process?
Of course, in the family, Jeff, is where we learn what love is all about. And most particularly, we learn about self-sacrificing love. And so vocations are born in families where people witness and experience a love that wants to make a gift of itself. It's interesting, for example, if you look at families who have a handicapped child, mm-hmm. a lot of vocations come from families with a handicapped child.
Interesting.
And why is that? Well, because they learned about self-sacrificing love in that family. You know, vocations come from all different kinds of families, but it's an interesting thing I've noticed over the years. So the family is really the place, the safe place, where we're meant to be able to learn what real self-giving love looks like. And that's the heart of every vocation, the married vocation, but most especially the religious vocation or a consecrated vocation or priesthood is really a life of self-giving love. And so people learn about that in families. The other really important thing is just for families to be encouraging their children to think about that question. I always say the most important question anybody ever asks in their life is, what is my vocation? What's God calling me to be? How's God calling me to live my whole life in relationship with Him? As a married person, as a single person, or as a consecrated person?
Mm-hmm.
And it's really important that young people learn to ask that question. My mom used to just tell me all the time, she'd say, God created your life. He made you, and He has a plan for it, and your job is to figure out what that plan is.
Mm, that's beautiful. You know, when we think about discerning whether we're going to be a priest or religious or married, I think sometimes people just simply reduce it down to, I feel like getting married, or, you know, the priesthood kind of attracts me. I like that lifestyle, or whatever that might be. But give us kind of the cliff notes to the process that discernment entails.
It's interesting because people say to me, "Oh, I'm attracted to marriage, therefore I must not be called to religious life." I say, "Well, no, welcome to the human race."
That's true.
The human race is attracted to marriage. That's the way God made us. And even consecrated life is very similar to marriage in terms of it's a self-giving vocation, and it's giving for the sake of union or communion with God that a person has a consecrated vocation. So it's related to that. The discernment process is really key. The first thing I have to do, and every person has to do this, they have to come to the place where they say, Jesus is Lord of my life. He's the Lord. He's the one in charge of my life. He made me. He has a plan for me. And He's the Lord. And therefore, I bring my life to Him. And I say, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? What do you want with my life? You're in charge of my life. You made me. You called me into being. What are you calling me to do for you? How are you calling me to live? And that lordship is meant to bring every person to a kind of place of indifference before Jesus. Of course, I might be attracted to marriage, or I might be attracted to priesthood, or I might be attracted to consecrated life or single life. But I need to come to the place where I recognize He's the Lord. He's in charge. And usually that requires a lot of prayer and wrestling with God. Because normally to be human is to be attracted to marriage. I want to have a family. We all grew up in families. And so I have to really come to the place in my relationship with God where I can say, God, if you would call me to follow you in this beautiful but special way of giving up everything to follow you, I'd be willing to do that. And only when I come to freedom there, where I'm, as St. Ignatius called it, holy indifference, right?
Mm-hmm.
I could do this if you want me to. Then God can speak.
Sure.
Otherwise, all those things that I normally have in my head, my desires, are what I'm going to be hearing, not the voice of God. And so I have to be willing to honestly lay down all my desires before God and say, God, what do you want?
Mm-hmm.
And then what I discover is that He gives me my deepest desire. My deepest desire will always be my vocation. But I won't know that until I surrender it to Him and let Him give it back to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the long process of discernment is, you know, I think this is my deepest desire, Lord, but I want what you want. And I surrender my life to you and I want to serve you. And as I grow in that relationship of prayer, He begins to speak and tell me what my deepest
desire is. It's beautiful. You know, we have a lot of people listening to the Rediscover Hour. Some of our younger ones are in school, you know, during this time. But we also, I noticed that this is open to people between the ages of 18 and 50. And somebody's driving around right now. They're 41 years old. They're 42 years old. They're a marketing director somewhere. They're an electrical engineer. And they're thinking, you know, this has always been on my mind and I've thought about it. Is there a difference between the discernment process for a high school boy versus a 41-year-old electrical engineer?
Yes, because it's more costly for the older you are. If you're going to give up everything and follow God when you're 40, more costly than if when you're 18, you know? An 18-year-old can experiment for a little while and say, well, I'll go to seminary for a couple of years and see what this has. But if I've got my own house and I've got my own car and I've got my own career, I had a seminarian who was in his early 60s and he had been a parole officer for years, and he's going to be a great priest. He's getting ordained a priest this year. But he was in his 60s when God called him, which is very unusual, right? Normally, people are much younger. But it was really through going to adoration every day. And as he went to adoration, he just began to realize God was calling him to do something more, even if it was only for the short end of his life. Mm-hmm. God was calling him to do something more. And basically, that can happen at any stage in our life where God might call us to do something more. You know, a lot of men, married men, experience that call and they become deacons.
Sure.
But there can be single men out there who never married, who just been pursuing a career, but they might realize, oh my gosh, as I grow in my prayer life, I realize God's calling for, asking for more.
Mm-hmm.
And then I need to be ready to check that out. And that's going to be a harder process for me. That's why it's always good in the discernment process to talk to people who are experienced. So to get a spiritual director, and especially if you're thinking about priesthood, to talk to a priest.
I guess one of the questions I'd like to ask you is, you know, when you go into the doctor's office, for example, and the doctor starts talking to you, how are you feeling? And, well, you know, I've got this feeling in my knee or my shoulder. I've been coughing a lot or whatever it might be. What are some of the signs that a young man or a man going into his 45-year-old or so, what are some of the signs that he may notice that are a sign that he just might be called?
Good question. One of the things that happened to me, at least, was a lot of people just came up to me and said, have you ever thought about being a priest? And then eventually they would just say, when are you going to seminary? And I was like, is it written on my forehead?
Yeah, right.
How do these people know? Especially church ladies. They just seem to have an intuition for this. So that's one thing, is sometimes people come up to you and say, you'd make a good priest. And you should listen to that if people say that to you, because that means they see something in you that may be true of yourself that you don't see. The other thing that happens, of course, is you begin to love the things that a priest does. Now, I know men who were called to priest who were terrified of public speaking.
Sure.
And so they didn't love everything about it. But they began to feel like, no, there's this call to be close to the Eucharist. There's this call to help people in salvation of souls. And this is the great battle of our day, is the salvation of souls. And someone who feels called to give themselves completely to that following, to that struggle to help save souls, that's a sign of a priestly vocation. And you know, people can do that on all different kinds of ways, and it might not be the ultimate thing, but it's these signs that are happening. I love to pray. I love to be in adoration. I love to go to Mass. I experience so much peace and joy when I'm there. I love to talk about my faith. Any one of these things could be the sign that I need to begin to pay more attention. And then God's going to show me where it leads.
You know, there's I would imagine that the majority of men that are going to be joining you, but once again, if you just joined us, we're talking with Bishop Andrew Cousins about the big retreat to discern priesthood. It's coming up December 18th through the 20th at Christ the King Retreat Center in Buffalo. He'll be joined by Father David Bloom, who, by the way, is our vocations director. Bishop, a number of the people that are going to be at that retreat probably are not listening to this show right now, but people that they know are going to be listening to this show. And I wonder if you have any advice for mom, dad, cousins, brothers, coworkers in introducing this idea of taking a couple of days.
It's just a great thing to ask the question first. Hey, have you ever thought about being a priest? Because you're going to be surprised how many of them say, yeah, actually I have. Or they say no, but they actually have. And And then to offer an opportunity like this is to say, well, here's a weekend retreat. There's no commitment here. This is just a great chance for you to pray and think about it. And what happens in the guy is as he begins to take that step and then he comes on a retreat like this and he gets to talk and think and pray about it, it can help pave the way for the next step, which is really applying, mm-hmm. you know. But sometimes that's a big step at first, and so this retreat is a middle step. But it's a great thing that anyone can be invited to.
I'm going to give you the number and the email in just a moment, so either you pull over or you start recording this, you can get a hold of that number to get more information about the retreat. Finally, Bishop, appreciate you coming on the show. What were in your life maybe a handful of landmark events or happenings that kind of sealed it for you?
Well, the first time I thought about being a priest, I was in the first grade.
Wow.
And my parish priest, Monsignor Berry, came into my classroom in the first grade, and he said, is Andrew Cousins here? I said, yes, Monsignor. He said, when you step out in the hallway, I thought I was in trouble. So he pulled me out in the hallway, and he said, do you know your act of contrition? I said, yes, Monsignor. He said, well, start saying it, because you're going to make your first confession. I was in the first grade. So this is a year ahead of when you would normally do it. So I did. I made my first confession in the hallway of the school there. And then he said, tell your mom this weekend you're going to make your first communion when you go home. So that night I told my mom, I said, Mom, Monsignor says I'm making my first communion this Sunday. She said, you tell Monsignor I need a week to get you ready. You can't do that this Sunday. But what happened was Monsignor Berry found out that he was retiring from the parish. He had just turned 70. And for some reason, out of all the boys in first grade, he wanted me to be able to serve Mass for him. And so he had me make my first communion early. And then I started serving Mass for him, and I served Mass for him for the next 15 years of my life, until I became a priest myself.
Amazing.
And he just became a real role model for me, and he loved the Eucharist, and he wanted me to experience the joy of being close to the Eucharist. And it wasn't long after that, when I would just be serving Mass there, kneeling at the altar and close to the Eucharist, that I began to think, I think I want to be a priest like Monsignor.
Mm.
And of course, he loved being a priest. He was a happy priest. He loved to put on his collar and walk up and down the small town in Granby, Colorado, where he lived in the summers, and shake everybody's hand. And he would say to me, people need to see a priest on the street, and a joyful priest. And that example for me played a big role. I knew I could be happy and be a priest because Monsignor was happy.
Mm-hmm. And you, at the same time, attracted to family life.
Sure, yeah. But what I began to realize is that deep in my heart, I wanted to give my heart only to God. And that was the real call I felt.
That's beautiful. Well, thank you for joining us, Bishop. And I want to give the information out. If you've got your pen now, maybe you pulled over on the side of the road, here's how you get in touch with the Office of Vocations, who is sponsoring this Year of Mercy retreat for men interested in the priesthood. Once again, it's December 18th through the 20th, Christ the King Retreat Center in Buffalo. You can register by going to the Office of Vocations. Let me give you their number. It's 651. There you go. We even got sound effects on this show. 651-962-6890. That's 651-962-6890. The email is stpaulpriest@1000. That's 10000. Or actually 10,000. Just 10,000 vocations. We're upping the ante here. So it's stpaulpriest@10,000vocations.org. We'll be back. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. Don't go away. We've got much more. Rediscover.
Living the Gospel of Life is heard Saturday mornings at 11:30 with hosts Brian Gibson and Kim Morgan.
There is a 44% increase in the incidence of breast cancer for a woman who's had one abortion. There is a 76% increase in the incidence of breast cancer for a woman who's had two. And there has been an 89% increase of the incidence of breast cancer if they've had three abortions.
If you think about it, you're interrupting a life cycle of pregnancy and stopping that. So you're totally messing with the hormones of a woman's body. And the hormones are what keeps a woman healthy and bites off disease.
Listen for a complete understanding of pro-life issues and current events. Brought to you in part by Klechka Publishing, a family-owned publishing company committed to continuing to support the work begun by Dr. Harold D. Klechka and the Klechka family. To Change the Heart of Man and A Treatise on Human Life are available at treatiseonlife.com.
Rediscover.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. So much happening in the world today. Turning on the news every evening and seeing devastating news and disappointing news. But behind all of that, I got to tell you, here in the Twin Cities, there's some good news. There's a lot happening behind the scenes that are bringing out holiness and justice and just fantastic things, like our seminary and our vocations department here. You just heard from Bishop Andrew Cousins talking about his own story of discerning how he was what he was going to do with the rest of his life. And he determined that, indeed, God had called him to the priesthood. Good things happening. Earlier in the show, we had Ali Aliyah on. And you're probably thinking right now, here you are driving down the road, and you're thinking, I don't have my pen with me, and I didn't earlier. But now I do, and I wish you would give out that information now. So, well, guess what? Your prayers are answered. Bishop Andrew Cousins gave you the vocations website. And I'll give it to you again. It's www.10,000vocations.org. And the phone number you can call for more information about this big retreat is 651-962-6890. And if you were with us earlier and you heard the beautiful music of Ali Aliyah, you can go to alialiah.com. That's ALYAAEIGHA.com and get a hold of her music. Joining us now is Father Bloom. And Father David Bloom is the director of vocations for the Archdiocese. And so as you're driving around and you're at work and you go to Mass every Sunday, please know that there is somebody that is both hands on the wheel when it comes to vocations 24/7, really looking into this in the Archdiocese, and that is Father Bloom. Welcome to the show.
It's good to be here.
It's good. It's your return, I believe.
That's right. I was here in July, and we were promoting a wonderful vocations event at that time, and it's good to be back.
And you hardly even knew where your office was at that point. I mean, you were brand new.
That's right.
And you've had some time to settle down. Before we talk a little bit more about this big retreat coming up the 18th through the 20th out at Buffalo at Christ the King, Christ the King Retreat Center, tell us a little bit about what's transpiring in the Office of Vocations. What kind of things are you up to?
Sure. You know, the thing that is so wonderful is to get an email from a young man or woman saying, Father Bloom, could I visit with you? Could I talk to you about God's call on my life? What an incredible email to get. And we're getting a lot of those emails. And I think it's a lot. We're averaging probably two a week. Most of those are coming from young men thinking about priesthood. And sometimes the email is, I'm not sure, but I think maybe God's mm-hmm. calling me to be a priest. Mm-hmm. Could we talk? And I call him right away. I reply to the email immediately as fast as I can. And I say, absolutely. When can we meet? And, what I see there is, you know, you've got this guy who isn't sure, not real sure, but the beautiful thing is he's open. He's open to whatever God may want for his life. How beautiful is that? Mm-hmm. And so, we don't have to have 100% certitude to take the first step. If that was the case, no one would ever get married. No one would ever enter any vocation. So we sit down and we visit, and we may have several visits. But there's a whole lot of interest out there. And it's very encouraging. So that's one of the things that's going on. Another thing is we had our Andrew dinner, and that was for young men in high school, 16 all the way up to, age 50. But most of them were younger, and they come together. We got together with Bishop Cousins, did evening prayer, had a meal. It was a wonderful event, strong numbers of young mm-hmm. men. A week later, we had young women come together. We had religious sisters present, and we did the same thing, and there was a nice turnout.
That's beautiful. Yeah. You know, you're talking about the process of discernment, and I think that a lot of people don't get it. They don't get it that it really is a process. When we talk about vocations, we're talking about priesthood, religious life. We're also talking about marriage as a vocation, and I'm in the vocation of marriage. But when I first went out with Emily, we went to Snuffy's Malt Shop. of all places, it went to Snuffy's Malt Shop. And if somebody that owned the company there would have come up and said, "Are you two getting married?" I have no idea whether I'm getting married here or not. I just want a malt tonight, you know, with this beautiful young lady. And one malt turned into another malt, and it turned into a dinner and turned into multiple dinners. And after a while, I started to realize that my heart was moving in a direction in the area of marriage. And I imagine that it's got to be the same way, too, is that the first time somebody brings up, do you want to be a priest? Now, there are exceptions, aren't there? There are young men that think, I knew this from the beginning. But there are a whole lot of people that when someone first brings up the idea of becoming a priest, it's like Snuffy's Malt Shop.
That's right. I think it's really about taking the first step.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's very obvious on some of the emails that, you know, a young man is taking the first step. He's contacting the vocations director. He may not have talked to anyone else yet about mm-hmm. this, maybe because he's concerned what others might say. But taking that first step is really one of the most important things, because now we can take that, we can look at it, we can put it before the Lord. We can seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit. There's wonderful resources that we have available to give to that young man. And I keep saying young man, but it works for an old man too.
Sure.
And the Holy Spirit works in many ways and through all of us. So, but great resources, and taking the first step is really the most important thing. I'm not so sure about the malt shop being part of it, but
you know, it's added incentive. That's all I can say. Yes. You know, we're going to talk just for a moment about what's going to happen that day, give us kind of a rundown. But quickly, Father, can you give the contact information again? So many of our listeners have to get out of their car at different points, and I want to make sure they get that.
Sure. And so if you have someone in your life or you yourself are interested in this retreat, you can call our office, and that would be 651-962-6890. We have our website, and that would be www.10000vocations.org, and that is one, that's 10,000 as a number, 10000vocations.org. And so
take us into this day, these few days. What could people expect?
All right. And so on Friday night, we're going to gather Friday night. We have a talk by Bishop Cousins, and there's going to be a little bit of greet and meet, a talk by Bishop Cousins, and then, of course, you have to have a social hour. Mm-hmm. You got to have some time to visit.
Malts.
Maybe we'll have malts. I'm not sure. And then, the next day, we're going to start with Mass. We're going to have another talk or conference by Bishop Cousins. After these talks, there's going to be time for men to go and reflect. Okay, the Lord speaks in silence. Now, it's not a silent retreat, but there will be times for reflection and times of silence, so you can reflect on those conferences. And in the afternoon, we'll have an opportunity for each of the guys to visit with Bishop Cousins and also with myself as the vocations director. And in the evening, we're going to have a holy hour. We're going to have another social time. And so not only are you receiving great conferences and a lot of good information, you're also meeting others who are thinking about priesthood.
Mm-hmm.
And so you find that this is very normative. This is very, you're not alone.
Right.
There's a lot of others who are also thinking very seriously about what God is calling them to
and
do.
And this is not the the whole deal. At the end of it, you don't say, okay, how many of you are going to sign below, and then we'll get your room ready over at the seminary. It still is part of the process, isn't it?
Yes, we're on the very start. We're at the very front end of the process. And then those who have a desire to move into the application process, then we would start that.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes, you know, it takes a while for it to be clear. And the Lord is patient.
Well, I appreciate you, Father, for coming on the show today and talking about this. Once again, the dates are the 18th through the 20th of December. It's going to be out in Buffalo at Christ the King Retreat Center. And they're looking for ages 18 to 50.
Yes, right? And actually, if you're a senior in high school and you're 17, that would also work.
Okay.
Because that means that if you made a decision to go into the seminary, you could next fall be at St. John Vianney Seminary.
That's great. The number is 651-962-6890. The website is www.10000vocations.org. That's 10000vocations.org. My friend, your son, your grandson may be one of those 10,000. Next year, we may be saying we're looking for 9,999. Because your grandson was that one that we were talking to today. You know, but in all seriousness, the little things that we do in the kingdom of God, like the mustard seed, can grow into phenomenal things. And that little thing that you may be called to do today is to simply bring this up to someone in your life that you have noticed may be called to the priesthood, may have a vocation. So I want you to take just a few minutes today, right when this show is over today, just take a few minutes in the car, a few minutes at work, wherever you happen to be, maybe this afternoon, and just think, who in my life, if I were to pick just two or three in my life, who would I guess may have a vocation? And give them this information. You give it to them. It's www.10000vocations.org. One of them just may be one of your friends. When we come back, we're going to talk about other opportunities in the Archdiocese. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. Rediscover.
I'm Mary Jo Copeland, founder of Sharing and Caring Hands. We are celebrating our 31st year of helping people in need thanks to your generosity. More people are in need because of today's economy and need your help. To the world, you may be one person, but to that person, you may be the world. Your donations provide meals, shelter, food, clothing, medical needs, and lots of emergency needs. Mary's Place, our transitional shelter, houses 100 families each night. And at last count, we had 480 kids and 150 adults. Your generosity helps thousands of people each week. 91% of your tax-deductible donations goes to meet the need of the poor. We take no government funding and rely solely on your donations. To learn more and see what a difference your donations make, visit our website at sharingandcaringhands.org. It will tour you through our facilities and explain what we do. You can donate online or mail donations to Sharing and Caring Hands. Please give generously, help the poor and unfortunate, assist the families, and give hope to the children. May God bless you all.
Truth begs to be taken for the next time. All faith is shaken, we're fine.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Paul, so much happening. We've even got people driving around right now that used to be part of the Catholic Church and
well,
are still searching.
Welcome them home. Here's an opportunity. Help bring them back home to the Catholic Church, no matter how long they've been away, no matter the reason. We invite them to consider renewing their relationship with the Church. St. Bartholomew will offer a six-week series entitled Catholics Returning Home, beginning Tuesday, January 5th, 6:30 to 8 p.m. on the lower level of the church. To find out more, call Andrew Allen, 952-473-6601.
A Spotlight Family Theater production brings A Christmas Carol to the Holy Family Academy in St. Louis Park. This production, which is adapted from the classic story by Charles Dickens, will be presented by the high school students of Holy Family Home Educators. All shows begin at 7 p.m. on Friday and Saturday, December 11th, 12th, 18th, and 19th. Free will offering accepted. Seating is general admission. For more information, visit hfhetheater.wix.com/A Christmas Carol. I would Google it.
Yeah, I would think so. Or just go to Holy Family Church and find out more. Saturday, December 12th, Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, Dennis Gaetano of Modern Day Tours, Twin Cities Pilgrims, will be speaking about Our Lady of Guadalupe, the true face of the Blessed Mother, and her role as leader of the new third evangelization. It'll be held at Transfiguration Catholic Church following the 8 a.m. Mass.
St. Jude of the Lake in Matamidi invites you to a Divine Mercy retreat on Friday, December 11th from 7 to 9 p.m. and Saturday, December 12th from 9 a.m. to 3:15 p.m. In this Jubilee Year of Mercy, an extraordinary opportunity lies ahead. Come learn intriguing little-known facts and history surrounding these revelations given to St. Faustina in Poland in the 1930s. The retreat will be led by Dave and Joan Maroney, founders and directors of Mother of Mercy Messengers. To find out more, call the parish office at 651-426-3245.
Save the date. The Wine Catholic Women's Conference will be held at Mary Mother of the Church in Burnsville, Saturday, February 6th from 9:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Registration is open now. To register, visit catholicvineyard.com or call Susanna Boley, 651-291-4411.
Calling men, grandfathers, fathers, young adults, high schoolers, and all men to save the date on Saturday, February 27th, 2016. Bishop Andrew Cousins invites you to the Archdiocesan Men's Conference. The Catholic Watchman, calling men to be protectors, providers, and leaders of their families. Check online for registration at rediscover-faith.org, or you can call Susanna Boley at 651-291-4411.
What's coming up next week?
Well, join us for next week's show as we talk about the meaning of Christmas with Archbishop Hebda. We will also talk with counselors and certified life coaches, Dan Stockman, and we have another guest on yet to be announced. Dan will share on how to deal with the holiday blues and put Christmas season into perspective. That's coming up next time on the Rediscover Hour.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.